news and more, including state-by-state reports on the nation's premier youth organization. This is FFA Today on Rural Radio 147.
Hello and welcome to this week's FFA Today. I'm your host, Janet Adkison. Thanks for joining us. Well, we've got a lot of ground to cover this week, so let's get things started. First off today, we're joined by Katie Carlgren, the Ag Education Instructor and FFA Advisor for Pike Valley High School in Kansas. And before we get into the real meat of today's discussion, first of all, Katie, give us an overview of your chapter at Pike Valley.
Sure. So Pike Valley FFA was chartered in the late 60s, and we are a really small school. We have about 70 students in our high school, and about 35 of those students are in FFA, and we offer a lot of different courses from agribusiness to food science. We have a really active FFA chapter. Although we're small, we're pretty mighty, so I feel like we have a lot of really neat, unique things going for our program, but also for the size of our program.
And for you personally, how did you choose to become an advisor and end up at Pike Valley?
Sure, yeah. I'm actually alumni of this school and of this FFA program, so that's kind of interesting. But all through high school, I took agriculture education courses. I grew up on a ranching operation here in northern Kansas, and so very familiar with production agriculture. I went to K-State and studied animal science and ag business, and I actually worked in industry for a little over 10 years before I decided to make the transition into education. And funny enough, I remember sitting in the same classroom I now teach in and thinking, oh man, it'd really be cool to be an ag teacher, but I just don't know if I could do it. And so, I don't know. It's kind of funny how life comes around. And so now here I am, and I'm actually teaching in the same classroom I was instructed in all those years ago.
How long have you been the advisor there?
I've been in Pike Valley for 5 years.
Well, you guys have a lot going on with the chapter, and the thing that we want to talk about today is your Panther Producers program. I understand it's been very successful so far, and we're hearing about many programs like this one sprouting up across the country. Explain exactly what it is.
Yes. A couple years ago, about 2.5 years ago, a local rancher says, hey, you know, I see people doing this. I see it's very popular in Nebraska. We need to start putting local beef into our schools. And we have, you know, plenty of producers around here. And he said, you know, I think I'll just donate the first one and we'll just see where it goes from there. And so he approached the school board and the administration and said, hey, I'd like to gift a whole beef to you. And they're like, oh, okay, we've never done anything like this. And so, you know, we double checked all the rules and regulations and all of that. And basically they were like, this is phenomenal. Yes, we'll accept it. So they accepted it. And then he got some of his buddies that are also producers and was like, hey, would you ever be interested in doing this? And they're like, oh yeah, sure. And so then it just kind of went from there informally. And then about a year and a half ago, we were visiting and I was like, we really need to put like some structure to this program. And I think this would be a great program for the FFA kids to take on just as a project of our chapter. And of course he supported that. And then we got our local foundation. We have a Pike Valley Foundation that actually people can endow money to support excellence in our schools. So excellence programs, academics, whatever. And so they got involved. And so here we are. We've developed some structure, and we like to say it's a program of our FFA chapter, but we have partnerships with local producers and also the Pike Valley Foundation. And also the program, we started with beef, and a big part of the program is beef and pork donations. But we also are diversifying into eggs. We have our own chicken coop in the ag ed department, and so we're supplying eggs. We have a greenhouse, so we're supplying fresh produce, and we also have some local vegetable farmers that are donating. And so it's just kind of cool because it's just kind of morphed into a lot more than we originally thought it would be.
What specifically do the students do once the animals are donated? Are they processing the animals themselves?
The students are really involved in every aspect of it. So we have students that are involved in just the administration of getting donations. We accept not only actual animal donations, they have to meet the criteria of the program so that we know it's a healthy, wholesome animal. But they also are involved in procuring monetary donations that can be used for processing or purchasing an animal. That way everyone can be involved, not just producers. And then they're into making appointments and things like that. At this point, we don't have the facilities to raise the beef or pork on site for the ag ed department. That's actually something that we're moving forward in, and hopefully in the next 3 years we can have the facilities to actually be growing our own. But right now it's mostly the administration and working with the community members and the foundation. And so when we first started, it was like we weren't sure how much we would go through or how much we would need, because this provides food for our school district K-12. And so kind of through trial and error and estimating like pounds used and things like that, we have figured out about how often we need a beef, how often we need a pork. And then, of course, the eggs and the vegetables are just kind of as available. But that's kind of how we figured out when we'll need it. And usually once an animal is processed, it's in the cafeteria as soon as 2 weeks earlier.
So what else is Pike Valley working on in the coming months?
So for us, service projects like addressing hunger, planning an event that we're going to have a silent auction, some live music, and a meal, and a percentage of the proceeds from that will actually go to our Panther Producers program. And then our program just continues to grow. Like I said earlier, we're small but mighty. I'm blessed with some great kids and great FFA members, just like I know many people across the nation are, and they've seen what FFA can do for them. And so they're all in, and we're planning on procuring some land to develop a land laboratory for our ag ed program, and then also just some expansion of the courses we can offer and things like that. So it's an exciting time for our program. We've kind of revitalized our program, and it's really exciting.
Well, if you want to see any of the projects yourself, check out their Facebook page. That's facebook.com/Pike Valley FFA. Katie, thank you very much for taking some time out of your busy schedule to join us today. We appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks so much for having us.
Katie Carlgren, Ag Ed Instructor and FFA Advisor at Pike Valley High School in Scandia, Kansas. Well, stay tuned. We're off to the Lone Star State next on FFA Today. Well, welcome back to the show. And if you think you're stressed out trying to multitask, just check out A Day in the Life of Katie Kempen, an FFA member at East Central High School in Texas. David Chancellor with News 4 in San Antonio reports.
Ask Katie Kempen what she does at East Central High School, and the answer is both impressive and exhausting.
What do you tell them that you do?
Everything. No, I'm just playing, but...
I don't think you are. I think actually you do.
I try to do as much as I can. Everything that's on my resume, everything develops you as a person. One thing leads to the other, one accomplishment leads to the next accomplishment.
And another, and another, and it all starts and ends with the school's FFA program, which used to be Future Farmers of America. Now it's so much more.
It's a lot more than cows, plows, and sows. It has to do with leadership. It has to do with being a well-rounded person and being able to speak up for what you believe in. It's not just farming or working out in the fields anymore. It has a lot to do with leadership and your role in society.
In Katie's case, her role? Take your pick. President of the school's FFA, Beta Club, National Honor Society. She's number 6 in her class and a 4-year letterman in cross country.
Katie, she's so well-rounded. Yep. She's poised. She's popular. She does set a great example as a role model, as a speaker, as a student, as an FFA member. So really, it's one of those kids, we want them to push to be her or be just like her.
Her niche, as she puts it, is a caretaker of God's creatures. She's raised 8 to 10 animals a year for the last 10 years.
I totally have an attachment to every animal that I've raised. I treat them with respect, and I know that eventually they're going to have to go into our food supply. And so, yeah, we have an attachment, the time period that we have that I have them. However, at the end of the day, I know it's for the greater good.
Up at dawn, done at dusk. She spends up to 4 hours a day every day feeding and watering the animals. And yes, she has a favorite. A heifer named Penny.
But I think it's her attitude that makes me like her the best. They all have different personalities, okay. And hers is super sassy. She'll kind of swing her head, and she has a strut to her, and she knows she's good, and so she'll walk around the pen like she's the best, for sure.
Katie would know the look. She's part of a legacy at East Central, which has won 23 national championships for the ag program. 23 and counting.
We have 4 teachers here who teach 6 classes a day, so we are constantly rolling them in and out.
It's a program that finds kids like Katie and helps them become successful, or in her words, developing the future leaders of our country.
Having so many opportunities here at my high school is even better. Having so many clubs or organizations that you can be a part of, you can find your niche in. I think it's what is really cool about our campus is that everyone has a place here. You just have to find it.
Speaking of all the clubs and opportunities at East Central, there was a need to organize the focus between groups, a way to kind of share how each club is working in the community. Well, guess who did that? Katie, as a high school freshman. I'm David Chancellor, News 4 San Antonio.
Well, thanks again to News 4 in San Antonio for that story. Well, don't go anywhere. We check in on all of the great FFA work being done in Ohio. That's coming up on Rural Radio 147. Well, thanks for tuning in. And finally, we head to Ohio, which boasts over 25,000 FFA members across more than 300 chapters. And that's where Town Hall Ohio, a production of the State Farm Bureau, recently sat down with several members of the FFA Association to discuss some of the recent successes they've experienced in the Buckeye State.
One of the most iconic brands in America is the blue jacket of the FFA. Up until the late 80s, we knew these well-dressed young men and women as members of the Future Farmers of America. Today, they, with the help of dedicated teachers, comprise one of Ohio and the nation's most effective leadership and career development organizations. After a lifetime of being involved with Ohio's farm families, there's one trait that I've found common to everyone. That is, they want to make things better for the next generation. Providing leaders for that next generation is one of the primary goals for the Ohio FFA organization. Today, we're going to look into that group and its people and why Ohio will be better off because of it. To help us tell the story, we're honored to have Matthew Klopfenstein. Christy Bachman is an agricultural instructor at Bloom Carroll Local School District. Katie Ensley is the FFA program manager. Folks, welcome to Town Hall Ohio.
Thanks for having
us. Thank you.
Well, Matthew, if you would, maybe you could get us started. How did you get interested in FFA to begin with?
Well, I'm the youngest of 4 boys, and I grew up on a farm, so FFA was always there. It was sort of something I watched my older brothers do and thought, all right, I might want to do that, and I had to tag along to all the banquets and conventions, and it sort of, was pushed a little bit at the beginning, but once I got involved, it was really something I enjoyed and found interest in.
If you would, Katie, help folks understand a little bit about the administration of FFA through the State Department of Education's connection there.
Sure. So the Ohio FFA is funded through government and also through sponsors, and we're a part of the Ohio Department of Agriculture, or excuse me, the Ohio Department of Education. So we are an intracurricular portion. We're through career technical education. So that is where the program is housed. I think the statistic is that about 20% of America's workforce is involved in an agricultural-related job in some way, shape, or form. but 100% of people wear clothes and eat food. So, you know, agriculture affects everyone. And there are so many different careers that we're finding students entering, whether it's careers in the animal sciences or food sciences, environmental sciences. You know, it really runs the gamut for the opportunities for our students in agriculture.
And right smack in the middle of urban Columbus, we're seeing some growth in that.
Sure. Yeah. And that's the Fort Hays FFA chapter. It is right here in Columbus. They're doing amazing science-based learning. We're seeing that across the country, not just in Ohio. We have FFA programs in 18 of the 20 largest cities in America, including New York, Philadelphia, Chicago. So really, FFA is for all students, rural, suburban, and urban.
Christy, you've seen more than one or two young people evolve from being pretty bashful and shy to becoming chapter president. Walk me through the evolution of a young person who just starts the program as a freshman and they blossom by the time they're a senior or on into college.
Well, and that is what I think drives ag education teachers to do what they do, because they see a young person develop. And I think it's our job as teachers to provide the opportunities and then tell those students, you would be good in that opportunity and you need to try it. There are some students that will grab that chance and run with it. If you put the sign-up sheet on the board, they will. But then there's others that need to be told, hey, you're really good at this. You might step out of your comfort zone and try this particular activity. And I've seen that with so many students that they get their feet wet and they try one activity and they think, hey, that teacher maybe didn't know what she was talking about. And then they try another activity and they start to get more involved. And it's amazing what these students do. I've been just very blessed to be involved with programs that have had students go from that freshman to a national officer in the FFA and then go on in agriculture and be a leader in the organization. I've had students that have found their career interest. They started their supervised agriculture experience, you know, mowing their grandma's lawn. And it turned into a full-blown business for them by the time they got out of college. And they're running their own business and supporting their family doing that. So that is why ag teachers keep doing what they do, because they can see this growth and see that potential in the students that come in the classroom.
Matthew, I would imagine that did you know from day one when you got into the classroom and learned about FFA that you wanted to do something in the organization, or did somebody have to push you along a little bit?
I knew I wanted to be involved, but maybe necessarily the avenues that I wanted to be involved in weren't quite set. So on that note, I had some, you know, push like, hey, you should do extemporaneous speaking, or you should, you know, stray a little bit this way. And sort of I've had pushes from, you know, my brothers as well as my parents and even my agricultural educator.
Now, we've learned pretty clearly, if you've been listening, that this is a great opportunity for young people. But we've also been kind of hearing between the lines that it takes mentoring, it takes educators, it takes people, adults involved in these young people's lives. Katie, we're not doing as well as we would like to in terms of having people become agricultural educators.
It's true. There's a growing shortage of agricultural education instructors. And part of that's because our membership is growing. So that's a great thing. We're adding middle school programs. Our membership just crept over 25,000. So we are on the move. We're growing. So we're happy about that. Programs are stable. You know, we're in a budget cycle where we have support. We're not seeing programs get cut. We're seeing programs added. So that's all positive. We need more ag teachers, and we need more students going into the field of agricultural education and seeing that as a viable career option for them. You'll probably start seeing there's a whole campaign called Teach Ag, and you'll see hashtag Teach Ag and tagged to Teach Ag. Agricultural education is here to stay. This is a great industry to go into. It's a good opportunity for you, and really helping students understand that.
Katie, it wasn't all that long ago that those of us who are fans of FFA were disappointed to see the number of programs in Ohio declining. That's turned around. How and why?
Sure. And I think that's part of the reason that we see some people being a little bit scared to go into the industry of agricultural education, because there was a period of time where, you know, people thought, gee, are these programs still going to exist when I graduate college? And we're finding that they do, and they are. And I think a good portion of that is that, you know, we're in a situation where we've got very favorable funding for career technical education. I think as a whole and across the country, folks are realizing that career technical education works. The model works, and it helps students be successful. And so I think that has filtered down to the local level, and schools are realizing that these are skills that are great for all students, college prep students, non-college prep students, just across the board. And so schools are realizing that, and they're hanging on to these programs. They're, like we said earlier, they're adding middle school and junior high options. So they're growing. And I think part of that is, you know, people realize how the blue corduroy, it affects students and it changes their lives. And I think that schools are realizing that and really wanting to keep these programs. And, you know, Joe, I can't tell you the number of employers that have approached me and said, when I see FFA on a resume, I'm going to give that student a second look. So, I mean, just having that, those skills are being valued by the industry as a whole.
We've had a fair amount of success at having national officers of the FFA over the years.
Absolutely. And I think it goes back to the training that happens in the classroom and preparing those students for that. So, yes, to be a national officer for an organization this large, people probably don't realize if you are selected as a national officer, you're one of six people. In what the membership and nationally is, what, 600,000 people
600,000.
Now? And those students actually take a year off college and devote about 300 out of the 365 days a year to promoting FFA and agriculture education. It may set them back a year in college, but wow, the opportunities that are available for them once they finish that year are incredible.
While we were talking about Ohio FFA and its history, and I mentioned at the top that the jacket, the blue jacket, is one of the more iconic pieces of American agriculture, it's got its roots in Ohio, Matthew.
Yes, it does. It was originated in Fredericktown, Ohio, and then it's actually manufactured currently in Van Wert, which is right down the road from me, about 10 minutes from where I grew up. So it's very neat that Ohio is able to have that sort of history and legacy in the national organization as a whole.
One of the neat things we're able to do, Joe, is because we are in Ohio and we're the only state that has this privilege, is that when the newly elected officer team, you know, their very first meeting together, we actually take a trip up to Van Wert, Ohio. They get to watch their own jackets being made. They get to have them custom tailor-made for them. So we try to take advantage of that here in Ohio.
Has there ever been any talk that, well, you know, the jacket's just not cool? Has there ever been discussion about abandoning that you're aware of?
Well, sometimes it's not cool. It's rather warm. But, I mean, I think it's so iconic and so rooted for so long. I mean, 80-plus years, I don't think it's going anywhere. I think it's here to stay.
If my vote matters, I'm going to raise my hand on keeping it here. Matthew, I'll let you close out the show. Why should somebody get involved in FFA?
Why get involved in FFA? Really the benefits of, you know, developing personally, preparing yourself for your future career, and just getting involved puts you a step ahead. I know when I go to college, I find myself using more and more skills that I found in FFA than anywhere else. So it really allows you to, you know, build relationships with people that are going to last forever, and then, you know, get that step ahead and find what you're interested in. A lot of times you ask a high school student, what's next? And they'll say, I have no idea. Well, agricultural education and FFA gives you an opportunity to explore some of those options, you know, pick out an SAE like, do I want to do that for a career? Or maybe I want to, you know, not do that and try something else. So it's really that opportunity to get a taste of everything before you head off and go to the next step of college and beyond.
One of the truly great pieces of Ohio's educational system, Ag Ed and the FFA. Our thanks to Matthew Klopfenstein, Christy Bachman, Ag Instructor in Bloom Carroll's District, and Katie Ensley, FFA Program Manager. Thanks to all of you.
Well, again, that interview was courtesy of Town Hall Ohio and Ohio Farm Bureau. And that brings another week's show to a close. But if you have something that you'd like to share on the program or an idea of something that you'd like to hear more about, just let us know. Send an email to FFAtoday@FFA.org or give us a call, 855-RR on 147. That's 855-776-6147. Until next week, I'm Janet Atkinson with FFA Today on Rural Radio 147, Sirius XM.